It is Canuck Central. Satyar Shah with Bic Nizar. Bic in for Dan Riccio, who's under the weather for another day, but hopefully we'll be back soon. Show produced by Josh Elliott-Wolf, who's also stepped in and did the people show for Bic Nizar. One person doing two people's jobs. He's got two jobs. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can always interact with us there. And we are coming to you live from the Kintech studio, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Before we get to the open, we also have a nice lineup of guests coming up today.
Let's go.
Ken Danico is going to join us, one of our favorites. Obviously covers the Devils, former Devils player. We'll be chatting with him coming up next segment. And then we are going to get into things with the Canucks with Brett Festerling, who called the game alongside Brendan Batchelor last night. The Canucks 4-3 overtime loss against the Carolina Hurricanes. He stops by at 5. And we'll have a chat with Kirk McLean. And that is coming up a bit later in the show, Bic. But yeah, well, we were at the game last night. It was an entertaining night. It was a fun night at the rink. It just wasn't the result you wanted. And on post-game, we were treated to the head coach sharing his honest thoughts about the performance. Now, it wasn't anything scathing, but he was very, you know, displeased with what he saw overall. Now, happy with the comeback and them getting a point. But he kind of warned them. If you guys don't clean this stuff up, this is how you start going on a lengthy losing streak, 4 or 5 games, and they have to avoid that. Now, today took a bit a softer approach with the media, but the head coach was a bit concerned last night.
And warned them heading into the game, you know, preparing a game plan, understanding what you're going to go up against, and obviously you take care of what you can do on your own side far more in the regular season than the playoffs. But there was an awareness of how Carolina's going to play, and there was a certain falling into the traps, basically, that Carolina puts out for you, and a disappointing acknowledgement of the game plan, I guess, from the players last night.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, the Canucks obviously are off to a decent start to the year. There's nothing to be overly panicked about. But there are certain players who are underachieving, and you'd actually say a pretty long list of their star players are not playing at the level they need to be playing, and we all know who is number one on that list as far as what people want more from. So without further ado, let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
So the big news today at practice, and you know, I say relatively big news, but we saw during the game last night that Nils Höglander was moved off the Pettersson-Garland line and was on the fourth line. And that continued into practice today. And the coach went as far as saying he didn't like Hoagie's game at all, is his exact quote from the game last night. And didn't really get into it much deeper today. But it is pretty telling that Höglander went from playing in the top six and playing fairly well the first few games to having a pretty bad game. And the next thing he knows, he's on the fourth line. And a couple of things we're going to get to here. I think the first one is on Höglander because the lineup situation. And the second one is, if we power rank the Canucks top six forwards, how would you power rank the Canucks top six players?
Yeah, it's tough. And with Höglander, it was his season low minutes last night. Obviously, with the benching, that's going to be the case. But coming into last night, he'd played 12:55 the other game against Chicago, 15:50, and then 12:14 last night, 12:55 being the previous low mark. So he's short of it by 40-some-odd seconds there. And just going through, you know, I think there's been better players than we're going to talk about. Like someone like Teddy Bluger, I think, has been among the Canucks' best forward so far this year, but he's not in a conversation for the top six.
We're talking about players who are making significant money or are being earmarked roles where they're playing 14, 15, 16 minutes a game.
A credible claim to play in the top six.
Yeah, he's not a guy who you can't say Daniel Sprong. You may want him to play there, but you can't say Daniel Sprong at the moment. But maybe that changes soon.
I might say Daniel Sprong here in a second.
Yeah. Well, has he been their sixth best forward? But that gets us to Höglander, because Höglander's a player who signed a 3-year extension this offseason. And honestly, like I've really liked a lot of what I've seen from him so far this year. I thought he had a good training camp. He was given a lot of praise for being amongst, if not the top individual as far as fitness testing went heading into training camp, and obviously played well through preseason, played well early in the season, has had a couple of goals, has 4 points in 8 games. I mean, nothing crazy, but you know, still there is a bottom line. It's not like he's not doing anything, and he has a bad game and the head coach now, you know, banishes him to the fourth line so quickly.
The rug was pulled pretty quickly.
Yeah. What do we make of that? Has he been that bad
No, I don't think he was good last night. Now, he ends up getting an assist on the Suter goal, which had elements of good fortune sprinkled all throughout it, that the rebound went right to Hoglander, the puck bounced perfectly for Sprong, that for whatever reason, I've watched it 50 times since then, I still don't know why Kochetkov came out, and the fact that Kochetkov even gets a stick on the pass across, and it ends up on Suter's stick, so much good fortune leading to the assist for Hoglander. But, you know, I just... The last couple of games, I feel like I haven't really noticed him in general.
That tenacity he was displaying the first five
Buzzsaw,
or six games.
Right, is the phrase that Rick Tocchet always mentions. And even last year he said, you know, I heard he's a buzzsaw, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and that was initially. But then as the year developed, obviously he saw it and he was happy with his game. But we saw in the postseason it wasn't there either. But honestly, like, so let's say the last two games. So six out of eight games, he was playing the way they wanted. Two games hasn't. Now, it's not like he's being healthy scratched, but I think it also shows how tenuous that trust is still, and how, as much as he's taken steps, the coach isn't going to relent until he gets, he doesn't need to get, say, you need to be good every single game, but I think he means that back-to-back games.
It's sure.
Like, hey, I'm okay with every once in a while, you're not going to have it. It's tough. Those things happen, but I can't have it back-to-back games.
And it seems like that's the standard for that sixth spot here, right? Yeah. Sprong got pulled pretty quickly.
Well, you kind of have to when you have so many guys also vying for those spots, right? And this is even before, prior to Dakota Joshua returning to the lineup.
And you just look at the circumstances here. They kind of fell in favor for Nils Hoglander to begin this opening season, right? The Joshua situation comes out of nowhere, so he gets kind of taken out of the running for potential top six spot, at least competing for it. Sprong gets the opening opportunity, but doesn't take advantage of it. Heinen got an opening opportunity in the top six, doesn't take advantage of it. Still the integration of a new player and all that. You know, Hoglander was meant to be the incumbent in that spot, and didn't really maximize the opportunity. DeBrusk has fallen in and out of the top six. Now he's got a spot there with Miller and Besser, and the chances are there, but it hasn't gone swimmingly on that role next to Elias Pettersson for Jake DeBrusk. So a bunch of things have happened around Hoglander that, to me, have indicated, hey, you can take advantage of this opportunity. Has he maximized the opportunity? I would say no.
Well, I mean, so to kind of drive that point home, if we're ranking how the Canucks' top six players have played so far this year, who's been their best forward so far this year? I think it's a coin flip between Brock Besser and Connor Garland.
As the best? Yeah.
Like, who's been the Canucks' best forward so far this year? And Garland, I thought, you know, has been terrific. Last night, he wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Besser, you can probably point out one game he wasn't great at. So, I mean, 1A, 1B, whatever. However you want to go about it, I'd say Besser and Garland are your two best forwards so far, right?
That's fair. And I think they're probably safely in a tier themselves.
Right. Yeah, I would say it's because there's been real consistency in their games for the most part. JT Miller has as many points as those guys, but his consistency in overall play has not been great. Case in point, the goal last night in overtime. The coach talked about that today, too. And JT himself would admit, like, he can and should be better. But
and
there's a real bottom
too,
line,
also,
though, at least, right?
Yeah,
like, JT's scored. He's got, what, 8 points in eight games?
Nine and eight.
So, I mean, yeah, he's above a point per game. So you can live with, hey, not having his A game. And we know that he's going through some level of injury as well.
And I do think the you know, plus minus isn't perfect. But there have been a couple of times where JT Miller has gone off for a line change. Pettersson has stepped on. And within 6 seconds, there's a goal. Pettersson can't even get into the play, but it's literally been the Miller for Pettersson exchange that has led to an encouraging plus minus for Miller at plus two and a disappointing one for Pettersson that's minus one. But some of that is kind of funny money just based on the way they've changed on shifts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a really good point too. But I'd say those three guys are the Canucks' best three forwards so far. Right? I don't think anybody's disputing that in the top six, that Besser, Garland, and Miller are the top three. After that, now the guys we're talking about, Elias Pettersson, Jake DeBrusk, Nils Hoglander. Like, how would you rank 4 to 6?
Man, I think it's Pettersson by default.
Well, I mean, now last night his minutes were limited a bit. He was under 17. He was their highest minute getter as far as he was leader in ice time amongst forwards up until last night's game, right? So he's been relied upon quite a bit. And overall, like, he's had some good defensive moments, played in more leveraged situations, but he's not producing. He's not the player you want him to be right now. Mm-hmm. Jake DeBrusk hasn't scored a goal yet.
That's the thing. It's probably DeBrusk.
Based on consistency of play,
he hasn't scored.
He hasn't scored. So, okay, either way, I'd say you'd say it's Pettersson and DeBrusk.
Yeah.
So that puts Höglander at number six. And I understand this text here, too. It's a good one. It's good. I mean, not to say that Hoagie's a dog, but it says, it's like training a dog. Quick corrections for Hoagie is what this text message says.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand what the point the texter is making. It's a quick correction and he'll be okay. But he is in that sixth spot because he's the first guy that's out off of it. We saw DeBrusk move down, but his minutes were still high because he was still playing in a lot of different situations. I don't get too caught up in what line is a player playing on. I look at the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is an indication, are you playing top 6 minutes or not? It's not about who you're playing with. Most shifts 5-on-5 or some of the time 5-on-5. It's mostly about how much you're getting used overall. And I'd say that's a player that gets used more. And if it's not Höglander, though, is Sprong ready for you to step in? Because he's not getting that spot. And the guy who got the spot, again, today is Arshdeep Bains.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people may want somebody with more offensive pedigree, like a Sprong, to play up the lineup instead of Bains. But the reason Bains plays up is because the coach has trust in him having a consistent effort and playing to his identity of the team and having the details that he wants.
Yeah, and right now, as we're just going by minutes, Höglander is sixth in even strength ice time for the forwards, right? It's Garland, Pettersson, Besser, Miller, DeBrusk in that order with varying level of minutes. But Höglander is kind of the bridge between where Jake DeBrusk is at 13.5 minutes at even strength so far this season and Teddy Bluger, who's 11.31, and Höglander kind of slots in right in between at 12.53. So there's a gap between where DeBrusk is and a gap to where Bluger is. But if we're talking about, you know, Heinen has been removed from the top six. Could he get back in there? Pugh Suter now scoring goals and you know,
getting some chances.
Some chances throughout the course of the evening. Is he an option to get bumped up? Sprong is one you mentioned. Joshua is not available, coming back at some point.
Well, Joshua is the guy they also made the investment in. Gave him a 4-year contract, $3.25 million per season.
I just wonder if the experiment here, and this was the audition for Höglander, to really capture it. And I will say, the shot looks significantly better.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I've been critical of Hoagie, and you know, Josh knows I've had an opinion or two on Höglander.
Do you want Höglander hater?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but you know, I've had my concerns, but I haven't been critical at all of him so far this year. Like, I think I've honestly liked a lot of things he's done.
You've
like,
come around on the I short have, guys a
yeah,
little
well,
bit.
Yeah, because they're playing well. They're
but the leash. Oh, I'll the make leash, another joke. A dog joke here, but the leash is longer on, for your Pettersons of the world.
Well, I mean, because one guy has almost $93 million owed to him. And one guy has $9 million.
Million.
There's going to be a bit of a difference as far as how each guy gets utilized and treated. You would assume too, right? But obviously Pettersson has to be better. But as far as Höglander goes, Yannick Hansen was on the People Show with Josh Elliott Wolf earlier today, and the question just remains with Höglander: can he truly be a top six player? Because when Dakota Joshua comes back and regains confidence, there's even more competition. Is this something he can hold on to? And Yannick was asked, can Nils Höglander really be a top six player? And here was his answer.
No, he needs to play in the third line. That's where he excels. He's above water on that line. He will outproduce, outchance the players he's playing against. He gets bumped up, and now you're seeing different oppositions, and it's a harder game to play there. You get scrutinized a lot more. He doesn't score. Okay, now he's dragging Petey down with him. I know it's not Höglander's responsibility to get Petey scoring, but when you play with that type of player, if you don't produce, you're not doing your job. So it's one of those things. He's a great middle six winger, can help out in a pinch, but in the right element, which is in the bottom six, that's probably where he excels.
That's Yannick Hansen on the People Show today. If you want to listen to the whole interview, you can check it out on the People Show podcast. But yeah, Yannick thinks Höglander's a third liner.
Yeah, and look at the growth that Connor Garland has made here from last year to this year, where it's no longer about crossing the bare minimum threshold. You want players that succeed and are elite in their roles, right? If you just wanted to look at it and say, is Höglander producing enough to say, you know, half point a game player? Yeah, okay, you can just put him as the sixth forward. But it's not about crossing the bare minimum threshold if you want to go compete for the highest honors. It's about putting guys in the best spot. Connor Garland is earning his spot as a potential top six forward. Höglander, it's tough. You're talking about different age ranges and different timelines of their own personal development. Garland obviously being a bit older. Höglander, I think, turns 25 in December. But it does go to show just like how difficult that leap is. And we've seen last year Hoglander in a fourth line role have ton of success carrying his line. Should the goal this year be, can he be the third line guy? Can you be last year's Connor Garland?
Well, so when Hoglander signed the contract, and we were talking about this even recently, about really giving him this top six chance, is he becoming a top six forward because he's playing bigger minutes and he had some early success and he has this opportunity with Dakota Joshua being out. And the thing is, he's not getting paid to be a top six player, but if he can be a top six guy and be a solution internally, making $3 million for the next 3 years, that's massive. Mm-hmm. Like that, there is no better solution outside of, I got a Lekker Mackey coming up on an entry-level contract, right, to be a top six player for you. But you're not paying him to be that guy. You have to be realistic that maybe the floor is a guy who plays bottom of your lineup, but he makes a bigger impact. And you made a great point last night that as good as Garland was running his own line at $5 million, what's even better is playing 18, 19 minutes a game and playing up your lineup. Has Garland kind of taken that opportunity? There was a spot available in the top six for somebody to emerge. Is Garland the guy that seized it?
Yeah, he absolutely has. Look, and again, it goes back to bottom line, right? He's got 7 points in 8 games and looks like someone that can drive the line. Hoglander, his goal the other game against Philly, it's, you know, pop up in the right spot, Pettersson hits you, and you score your goal. But by and large, he's been far more of a passenger and, you know, does some functional stuff. But when the effort isn't there, like we kind of saw yesterday, it's really easy to pull him out of the lineup or to pull him out of the top six. Garland is driving his line. He's producing and he looks active all of the time. He looks involved in the play all of the time. It's tough. It's a big step to be in that top six.
100%. And at the same time, as much as we were sitting here and talking about Hoglander, and you heard Yannick's clip about he has to help Pettersson out, but also Pettersson's going to have to also elevate the guys around him at some point.
Of course.
You know,
right?
And I think that's a completely fair thing that we have to see from Pettersson. And ultimately, you know, Yannick mentioned this too in the hit. He's got to score. That's what people want to see. He scored the goal the other night. But then last night, I mean, his game did not seem like it was any better. Right, so he has to improve. I know people are asking, Lee's asking, and I know it was Ian and Quitlam who's very concerned about the Pettersson contract and wondering, you know, if this doesn't work out, who's going to take the blame for this contract? It's the biggest contract in Canucks history. It's big, right? So I understand legitimate concerns. And to Lee, who's wondering, you know, is Pettersson going to get out of this? I think he will, because we've seen this before, right? In the North Division season, he was tripping over blue lines before he left. Remember, like, he was falling over all the time. And I mean, like, not even being touched. He had no confidence in his shot. The way he was playing and handling the puck. We were at the games, right? I know a lot of fans watched it on TV, of course. But you could tell, like, this guy looked, like, miles away from the guy you thought he would be. Way worse than what we saw today. And then the year he came back after signing his 3-year extension, remember the struggles until Travis Green got fired? It took until Boudreau got hired for him to turn his game around. He was, like, how many points he had in the first 40 games? I think it was just over 20. Like, it was really bad.
We were chatting, I think, in December or January that year, and that season, and I remember saying, I still think he's going to top his career high.
Yes, and he did.
And the amount of text that we got, I was like, what are you talking about? He's never going to get to 66 points. Winds up with 68 that year.
So, I'm not justifying his struggles, but the reason why I have faith he's going to get through it is because we've seen him struggle like this and worse and come out of it, right? Obviously, when you're paying a guy as much as he is, he has to find consistency. He has to find a way to play through, even if he has ailments. And we're going to talk to Ken Danico coming up, and we'll kind of ask about, you know, and now I know it's a different day, but when he played, but these guys play through a lot of injuries. And,
sure.
And I'm not saying, you know, go out there and be a hero all the time, but you have to find a way to still be at like 85-90% of your capabilities when you're hindered by something. Mm-hmm. Now, it depends on the level of hindrance from the injury and all that, but you still have to be able to find a way to overcome. So even if Pettersson's going through something, how does he overcome that, right? And I don't mean that in a sneering way. I just mean it as, hey, it's just a reality of what you have to do. He has to become more consistent. But there is evidence. We've seen it throughout his career of what the peaks look like. And we've also seen what it's looked like when he struggled. And in the two most critical times prior to this, we've seen him go through struggles where he looked even worse. He found a way to get through it. And I would imagine, I still would have faith he's going to get through it. But I don't disagree. It doesn't look good. Like, he's got to be a lot better. There's no doubt about it. Because, you know, as much as we're talking about Hoglander, you know, he's ultimately not going to be the difference between this team, you know, going far or not going far. It's going to come down to, you know, Pettersson finding his game.
Yeah, I always just go back to, you know, the idea of betting on talent, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it that there's frustrations of, you know, a player not living up to a deal. I totally get it. But I've pointed to, like, production markers. And just since the lockout, right, we've mentioned, you know, 100-point centers. Okay. I'm just going to point out the guys who have done it. 100-point centers since the lockout. Henrik Sedin, Nicholas Backstrom, Claude Giroux, Steven Stamkos, Patterson, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, JT Miller, Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon, Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Leon Draisaitl, and Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. That's the list. So the level of like dedication required to achieve that signals to me that this idea that he's struggling and all these things, like, is he really dedicated to get his game back? To achieve this requires such a ridiculous level of commitment to the game and respect to the game and respect to your own craft.
And ability, yeah.
The only one that you look at that of that list that's like, wow, I'd be worried if he turned out to be Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That's really about it. Everyone else on that list is Stanley Cup finalist, Stanley Cup winner, Hart Trophy winners on that list. And it's... Look, I'm with it. It looks bad right now. Don't get me wrong. The 40-game sample, it has been bad. To me, it's always a comfortable bet knowing that someone achieved and is among this group of players.
Well, there's a reason he got the contract.
Yeah.
You know, like ultimately, there's a big reason for it. And I see it in people texting in, but he's never, you know, struggled for this long. Maybe this is who he is. This is kind of what also happens, you know, with fandom. Like, when things are really good, you sometimes don't think that they're ever going to be bad again. Like, they're going to keep winning. And when things are bad, you feel like they're always going to stay bad. And it's kind of like the hot hand, cold hand fallacy. It's a fallacy, but I get it. But that's just my opinion on it. I know people obviously want to believe what they want, and that's completely fine. You're entitled to have an opinion on Elias Pettersson, what you think he's going to do. It hasn't been good enough to this level, but I would imagine we're going to see a lot better than him, a lot better from him here as the season goes on. All right, quickly, let's run through the Canucks Central roundup. Just a couple of notes from practice. We mentioned Garland playing with Baines and Elias Pettersson. Hoglander going down to play with Suter and Sprong on the fourth line. Brännström was skating with Noah Juulsen, Forsberg and Desharnais at practice. And Tocchet said he's not sure if Forsberg's going to be ready for Wednesday, which to me says he's not ready. I'd imagine the third pair would be Brännström and Juulsen coming up against the New Jersey Devils on Wednesday.
That sounds right. Especially with, you know, I was listening to Canucks talk earlier too, and they were having a conversation about if there should be a change to the blue line with Hughes and Roenick, and it was a great point. It's like you don't really have any other solutions out there as far as fixing the blue line, and the one that stands out to me is do they need to fix something with Soucy and Myers, and we'll get into it throughout the course of the show, but. You know, Brännström and Juulsen, it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like Desharnais probably deserves to come out.
Yeah, Desharnais really struggled. Yeah. And Desharnais, again, if he's going to figure it out, it's going to take time. And I understand you don't pay a guy $2 million to be a long-term project, but that's kind of is what it is. And I think it's pretty clear watching him that he can't do a lot of things he's being asked to do efficiently quite yet. And I think that's something that's going to take a little bit of time still. All right, keep your thoughts coming in through the Dunbar Lumber Text Inbox, 650-650. We'll interact with you as the show goes on. We are going to talk to Ken Danico covering the Devils. That's next right here on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.